May you know our Lord's peace and find blessing through his word from Daleville Christian Church this day. We have an affirmation of our faith we share, this one from Ephesians in chapter 2. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The reading of God's word for today is from Mark's Gospel in the 12th chapter, verses 28 through 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Let's notice what Jesus said in today's report on Jesus from the Bible. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" The teacher's question for Jesus was not a strange question. The rabbis often discussed this very same question. Do notice that the teacher here, the teacher of the law, is sincere in his question. The teacher of the law is not asking the question because he does not know any answers to the question. The teacher of the law wants to hear how Jesus answers the question, because there are several ways to answer that same question. The teacher of the law asks Jesus this question. Why? Because we read the teacher of the law noticed Jesus had given a good answer before. So the teacher of the law is looking forward to hearing what Jesus answers and how Jesus answers a common question that the rabbis discuss among themselves and with their own disciples. The question can be read more than one way. What is the greatest commandment? The Greek word used for greatest is protos. If you know what a prototype is, you know it's the first of something. But the word protos is the superlative form of the word first. So protos means the first of many. So the word greatest is the best translation. There are 10 commandments and they are all good. All the commandments are to be adhered to. So to ask for the greatest is not to ask for which is the better commandment, but the commandment that gets priority. All of God's commandments are good. The question is not sorting them into two groups, better and not so good. Jesus is being asked to prioritize of all the commandments, and all the commandments are good. Notice how Jesus answers. Jesus quotes the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. Jesus began in chapter 6, verse 4, which is not a commandment, but a reminder that the Lord our God is one Lord. Our God, Jesus is clear to say, not my God, but our God. And then Jesus puts the relationship of Lord God and God's people in focus, using the word love, and qualifies that love with the words heart, soul, and mind. These three words are not divisions of the human person so that we should discuss each one of them and what Jesus meant. Jesus, with these three words, covers the totality of a person. I suppose these days we would say, you should totally love God. That sounds something like something I would hear on the street today. You should totally love God. That is, this love involves feelings and the deep abilities of the mind to contemplate the great God, to utilize one's whole self in loving God. Jesus immediately follows it with saying, literally, second this one, using the same word for love, agape. Love God, love neighbor, the same love. And with the same love. Then Jesus says, greater than these, another commandment not there is. That's what the Greek passage literally says. Greater than these, another commandment not there is. So there Jesus states that relationships are the most important thing in life. The relationship to God and the relationship to neighbor. These relationships for the people of God are to be characterized by love. Jesus taught that relationships were important, good relationships. I imagine that Jesus would point us to the greatest commandment and say, loving relationships are the most important. And with whom are we to have loving relationships? God, Jesus, and your neighbors far and near. Now, if you're having trouble loving your near neighbor, don't quit and try focusing on the far neighbor. Keep working at loving the near neighbor. It will help you love the far neighbor. How do I know that Jesus wanted us to have loving relationships with our neighbors? Well, there's this commandment to love. And in other places, like the words of God we looked at last week, where Jesus talks about forgiving those who have hurt us. Jesus even suggested that reconciling is more important than your temple offering. When Jesus said, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. And if you're still not sure, Jesus emphasizing love, loving relationships, Jesus followed that up in the next verse saying, settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. I don't see how we can miss Jesus' emphasis here. Jesus went so far as to say we are to pray for our adversary. I do appreciate the King James Version of Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Listen to other versions of that same verse. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. Other versions say, pray for those who mistreat you. Pray for those who hurt you. Pray for those who insult you. Pray for those who treat you badly. One of the apostles said that speaking the truth to others isn't good enough. Why? Because speaking the truth is missing something. So the apostle said, speak the truth in love. Almost all the versions of the Bible say, speak the truth in love. A couple of them emphasize the truth in more than words, saying, let us follow the truth in love. Let us do the truth in love. But every version of the Bible makes it clear that the truth itself, or what is sometimes called the naked truth, is not good enough. Speak the truth in love. How does a Christian do that? How does a Jesus follower do that? Well, other words come to mind. Some are straight from the New Testament. Some are from looking at and watching Jesus. Words like kind, kindness, compassionate, caring, sympathetic, empathetic, with understanding. I do know and remind you that sometimes the truth is hard to accept. For a person to accept that they are addicted is hard. Addiction is a hard truth. Recovery from addiction is a hard truth. Telling people they need to get into a recovery program might be the truth, but the truth in love might be to offer to find recovery groups for them, or to drive them to their recovery group. I've heard more than once that a loving Christmas gift, or Mother's Day gift, or Father's Day gift is a medical exam or screening for cancer or diabetes. To some people, that's tough love, especially if the loved one doesn't want to go to the procedure. It might be tough love, but it looks like the truth in love to me. To find out the truth about what's going on in your loved one's body, good news or bad. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians that if you're married, you don't own your own body anyway. Your spouse does. But this is not what I hear from many Christian marriages, as the husband resists medical attention or even getting himself to the doctor. If your wife wants you to go to the doctor, the Apostle Paul says, you have to go. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and verse 7:4, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God? You are not your own. Cancer can be a hard word to hear. But until you hear the diagnosis of cancer, you probably won't take any steps to stop the cancer from growing. And stopping the cancer from growing is the only way to get better. There are other ways to live a life of love for others. It isn't just our response to how people treat us, good or bad. There's more to love than simply responding with love. Jesus said, do not return evil for evil. But there's more to love than that. There's more to love than not returning evil for evil. Peter's letter says so, 1 Peter 3:9, do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. Bless them. Bless others. Be a blessing. I've been a pastor for many years. I don't claim that this is easy, but that's why I'm preaching about it. And I haven't seen or heard many other preachers preaching on this, but I have heard people say we need it. Relationships are important, but many Americans count loneliness as one of the bigger problems in our country. Fewer people are part of a church. That makes our job even bigger, Jesus followers. Jesus didn't say, love your neighbors who come to your church. Jesus said, love your neighbors. Who's my neighbor? See Jesus' story on the Good Samaritan. The despised and presumed infidel Samaritan proved himself neighbor to the Jewish stranger left for dead on the road. During this pandemic, a pastor might think that other pastors would call more people to prayer. That's not what I'm hearing. I've heard call your congressman. I've heard call the police. I've heard go to court. I've heard protest at the school board meeting. but I haven't heard too many calls for prayer. I mean, it's okay to protest at the school board meetings, Jesus followers, but don't you want to pray before you go? Pray together? Pray for the school board? Pray for the teachers? Pray for the staff? Pray for the other students, not just your student? Pray for peace? Pray for wisdom? Pray that others will see Jesus in you at the meeting? I don't claim that love is easy. Last week we talked about forgiveness. If you forgive someone a $100 debt, you're out the $100 and you won't ask for it again. That forgiveness cost you $100. That's what forgiveness is. It's you giving for someone else. And forgiveness costs. Forgiveness cost our Heavenly Father, who gave His only begotten Son so that you and I wouldn't perish. And why did God the Heavenly Father do that? Because God so loved the world. If love costs our God that much, I doubt that we can forgive without some pain and difficulty. But we are empowered to forgive through this same love that God has for us. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, but you also love one another." That you also love one another. Even as Jesus has loved you. Not only would Jesus give His life for you, Jesus did give His life for you. The prophet Isaiah said it this way in chapter 53, "But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His open wounds, with His stripes, we are healed." As the apostle wrote in his letter to the Philippians, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." In his letter to the Ephesians, he called on us to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's one of the most hated American words, submit. But these are the words of the apostle for the Jesus followers. It might be every man for himself out in the world, but among the believers, it is not. The followers of Jesus are all for all the other followers of Jesus and those who might someday become followers of Jesus. That's how I read your Bible. Loving the neighbor is not qualified. There are no shortcuts. There's no minimum love required to love the neighbor. It's the same Greek word used by Jesus to love God. Love God, love your neighbor. All the neighbors. Neighbors near and far. If your neighbor goes to Florida for several months out of the year, are you supposed to love them while they're in Florida during the winter months, while we're here in the north? Yes, you are. They're still your neighbors. Love those neighbors even during the winter months. No matter how many polar vortexes come through here, while they're in their shirt sleeves in Florida, you still love them. Just like they were next door last summer. Being far away does not make people less than your neighbor. Love your neighbor. All the neighbors. Neighbors near and far. It's part of the greatest commandment. Jesus wants those loving relationships for us. Jesus wants those loving relationships from us. Why? Because the love we demonstrate to others is an extension, the hands and feet of a loving God on earth. We, Jesus followers, are those hands and feet of God in the world, conveying the love of God in the world. God who gave his Son that people not perish, but have eternal life. Praise be to God the Father through our Savior Jesus Christ, our Lord.